Thank you all very much for coming. This week, Adonai continues to lay out his case for direct intervention. By the time these chapters have been written, Israel had been carried off in captivity, and likely they were already rebelling in some of the resettlement cities. Some escaped to Judea and others to Egypt. So at the time of the writing of these particular chapters, Judah's sins are beginning to rise up to continue to grow, and they're going to bring the southern kingdom to ruin. And Isaiah, at this point, Isaiah is attempting to try to turn the people around. However, that message doesn't go over very well. It's not going to be very popular for King Manasseh. All kings in particular do not like anything that challenges their authority. They don't like a message from God that says, you have not done this, you have not done that, and these things are going to happen to you. It's just the way kings work. So King Manasseh heard Isaiah's message. So in a sense, in a very real sense, these last few chapters of Isaiah could be used as a reason for Manasseh to seek out Isaiah and to kill him, which he does. We know that he does in history. So if anything, these last few chapters indicate a direct challenge to the authority and the reign of King Manasseh. Isaiah is telling the people that their own corrupt actions and sins will bring about their own demise. They don't want to hear that. But he's also giving them a glimpse of long-term hope for all the house of Jacob. Adonai has determined that he himself will send a redeemer because no man can be found to do what needs to be done. You'll read that as we read along this week. He says that he could not find a man to do what he wants to do. And so he's going to send a redeemer himself. First, as we saw in the previous chapters, a humble servant is needed. And now you might say, well, why would he send a humble servant? Well, let's look back at some of the history. As Moses once said, a man from among your brothers who is like you is going to come to you, and him you should listen to. But let's go back even before Moses. Joseph, who was looking back at his life, began to realize after he had risen to the throne, he began to realize that Adonai had sent him ahead of his family, so that when the time came, he could rescue his entire household. Joseph then serves as a type. He is the Messiah ben Yosef, or Messiah ben Joseph. When Joseph was young, he was the furthest thing from being humble. He gladly shared his dreams of his family bowing down to him, and his brothers hated it. He had to be softened. He had to be humbled, and he was. And yet, he held fast to his faith, and in fact, it actually grew the more his hardships increased. Then, exercising the power of the greatest empire in the world, he revealed himself to his brothers. And then, with the armies of Egypt, he retrieved his family. So if you read go back and read that section of Genesis again, you'll notice that an entire entourage came up from Egypt. Chariots, soldiers, the whole bit. Jacob probably, although he couldn't see very well, heard about it and was probably terrified that Egypt was coming up to conquer them, when it was actually his son sending up men to come help retrieve the whole family. So first, the servant became a king, commanding the armies of Egypt. That's the type that Isaiah is spelling out in much greater detail. So let's imagine an entirely new kind of man, one sent by Adonai, whose heart was not filled with evil intentions, but a consuming desire to please his God. One like Eliezer, Abraham's servant. He had singular focus, and he completely submitted to his mission. One like Moses. We know he was humble. And This one, this servant that he was going to send, needed to have the humility of Moses and the faithfulness to hear what God is telling him and to say it and to perform those things exactly as he's being told. Next, you will need a man or a servant like Isaac, who will be willing to lay down his life in surrender to his God, not knowing what's going to happen on the other side. He simply was willing to lay down his life. He laid there on the pyre, waiting for Abraham to strike him. And he needed a servant, a special kind of man like David, who would be given authority and kingship. And what most of us don't remember is that he was crowned as a pretty much as a child, a young man. So he would have to be patient as a young boy king waited for decades to ascend to the throne for which he was anointed. That's the kind of man that we see written about in the book of Isaiah. He embodies all of these aspects. When Joseph received power and authority, he looked nothing like he did when he was a boy in the family of Jacob. In fact, he was nothing like the dreamer or the enslaved or the prisoner. When he became vizier of Egypt, he was second only to Pharaoh. He looked and dressed like Pharaoh. He rode in the chariot of Pharaoh, and he held the power of life and death in his scepter. In the same fashion, the servant of Adonai is going to return and reveal himself to his brothers and recover the whole family, escorted by the armies of heaven. The Redeemer of Israel is the true Messiah, and when he returns, he will command the armies of heaven, and he will retrieve the whole house of Jacob in the greatest exodus of people that the world has ever seen. So, for those of you who are taught there's going to be a rapture, okay, that's the closest thing that's going to be to a rapture, except you will not be going to heaven, you will be going to Israel. And more than that, you'll be going to a new Israel, unlike anything that you have seen or understood or seen in the history of the whole land in itself. So this Redeemer of Israel, he will not be a man, not at least a man outwardly. He will look like a man outwardly, but he will not be a man internally. He will look like a man outwardly. He will be the son of man and the son of Elyon. These things I'm saying to you, not from my own mind, but from the scriptures. He will also wield the power of the Creator. So he will be a miracle worker. He will command the armies of the Creator. In his authority and power, he can choose who is allowed to live, who dies, and even more than that, who will live again. So there are some beautiful passages in this reading. The words arise, shine. I've heard some beautiful songs. Those phrases that words, those words arise, shine has been used as a rallying cry by athletes. But these words are a promise to every single Jew on earth. This is our heritage and our future. Arise, shine. And I'll let you read the rest of that when we come to it. So the world we see this king of heaven come from, the world will see, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The world will see this king from heaven come from the sky, and they will send their wealth and all of the children of Israel, the remnant, the descendants of the children of Israel from all the nations will come in this great exodus. And behind them will be materials on ships and planes, and they will come following the people, arriving in animals and raised roadways from the remote parts of Earth. So, just as the nation sought to build a tower to heaven in Babel, back in Genesis, so they will return to build a sanctuary on the mountain in Jerusalem. And this is what we see in Isaiah 60. Israel and Jerusalem will have a new name. All of that baggage that's been associated with the name Israel and Jerusalem will be removed. The terror and anti-Semitism, the anti-Zionism, the jealousy of the house of Jacob, all of that will be forgotten. The descendants of Abraham from the remotest islands, from the remotest nations, from the depths of Africa, from the Middle East, from Europe to the mountains of Asia and the Americas will be reunited in one faith under one government, celebrating the Moedim, the holy days, and Shabbat under multiple kings and Kohanim, kings and priests, all who will answer to one king. That king will be the Son of Man and Elyon, the one who was pierced for our transgressions, the one who was lifted up, and who will now come as he rules over death and over the rest of the kingdom that he will establish on this earth. So let's go ahead and begin the reading. I've given you a nice warm up. I've given you some things to pay attention to as we read. So let's go ahead and start our reading. Again, we are covering Isaiah 58 through 62.
Chapter 58. Cry out loud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a shofar. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day to day and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did right and had not forsaken their God's decree. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted, yet you do not see? Why have we afflicted our souls, yet you take no notice? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to strike with a wicked fist. You should not fast as you do today, to make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast I have chosen, a day for one to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spreading out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to Adonai? Is it not the fast I choose, to release the bonds of wickedness, to untie the cords of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of Adonai is your rear guard. Then you will call, and Adonai will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you get rid of the yoke among you, finger pointing and bad mouthing, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will be like midday. Then Adonai will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins, will raise up the age-old fountains, will be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets for dwelling. If you turn back your foot from Shabbat, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call Shabbat a delight, the holy day of Adonai honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure, nor speaking your usual speech, then You will delight yourself in Adonai, and I will let you ride over the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken.
Amen. Isaiah 59. Behold, Adonai's hand is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he doesn't hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues justly, and none pleads a case honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adders' eggs and weave the spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs dies. Crack one open, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are works of iniquity. An act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run after evil. They rush to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Violence and ruin are on their highways. They do not know the path of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever walks in them will not experience shalom. This is why justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like the blind. We grope like those with no eyes. We stumbled at noon as at twilight. We are like the dead in desolation. All of us growl like bears or moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying Adonai, turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering lying words from the heart. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far off, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. So now truth is missing, and whoever shuns evil becomes prey. Now, when Adonai saw it, it was displeasing to his eyes, and there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was astonished that no one was interceding. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself in robes of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, retribution to his enemies. To the islands he will repay as due. So from the west they will fear the name of Adonai and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, driven along by the Ruach Adonai. But a redeemer will come to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression. It is a declaration of Adonai. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Adonai. My Ruach, who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, or from the mouth of your offspring, or from the mouth of your children's offspring, says Adonai, from now on and forever. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen on you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But Adonai will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brilliance of your rising. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They all gather. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. For the abundance of the sea will be turned over to you. The wealth of nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of Adonai. All of Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. Nebo's rams will minister to you. They will go up with favor on my altar, and I will beautify my glorious house. Who are these who fly like a cloud, like doves to their windows? Surely the islands will hope in me, with the ships of Tarshish in the lead, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of Adonai your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners will build up your walls, and your kings will minister to you. For in my fury I struck you, but in my favor I will show you mercy. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be shut day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. Those nations will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, cypress, elm, and pine together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I will give to the place of my feet glory. The sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despise you will fall at the soles of your feet. They will call you the city of Adonai, Zion of the Holy One. Instead of deserted and hated, no one passing through, I will make you an eternal pride, joy from generation to generation. You will also suck the milk of nations and nurse at the breast of kings. Then you will know that I, Adonai, am your savior and your redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze, and instead of stones, iron. I will make Shalom your overseer and righteousness your taskmasters. No more will violence be heard in your land, devastation nor destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No more will the sun be your light by day, nor the glow of the moon be your light. But Adonai will be your everlasting light and your God for your glory. No more will your sun set, nor will your moon wane, for Adonai will be your everlasting light as the days of your mourning end. Then your people will all be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of his planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest will become a thousand, and the least a mighty nation. I, Adonai, will hasten it in its time.
Chapter 61. The Ruach Adonai Elohim is on me, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor and the day of Adonai's God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of Adonai, that he may be glorified. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and shepherd your flocks. Children of foreigners will be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you will be called the Kohanim of Adonai. They will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations and boast in their abundance. Instead of shame, double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will sing for joy. Therefore, in their land, they will inherit a double portion, they will have everlasting joy. For I, Adonai, love justice. I hate robbery in the burnt offering. In faithfulness, I will reward my people and cut an eternal covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, for they are the seed that Adonai has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in Adonai. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adorning herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes things sown to spring up, so Adonai Elohim will cause justice and praise to spring up before all the nations.
Okay, thank you very much for all of those who read tonight. Once again, if you'd like the opportunity to read next week, just let me know and we will put you on the list. So, what is amazing to me is that men have taken one half of the story of Messiah ben Yosef, and they have weaponized him to use against his own people. This announcement of the kingdom of God is completely a Jewish message. Messiah ben Joseph is only the beginning of the announcement of the kingdom of God. There yet remains Messiah ben David, the conquering king, who himself said not one yud or vav would pass away until everything that is written in the Torah is fulfilled. And that means that everything that we just read will come to pass. There's a blessing that we say when we finish reading the Haftorah, and I believe, and I'm going to paraphrase it, which is that your word is trustworthy. It goes out and never comes back unfulfilled. That's what we're looking at. So, did Bereshit or Genesis end when Joseph was framed and thrown into prison? Every child who has ever read Genesis knows that Joseph's story was just beginning, just getting started when he was thrown in prison. And we are not children. We need to recognize if Messiah ben Joseph was only a forerunner, and that the true Messiah ben Joseph has already come, then, as we say in the movies, there yet remains the rest of the story.